military language of which I know little," said the Count. "I do so hope there is no unpleasantness."
"I don't,"
said Sergeant Crapput. "What scamps they are," said the Count. "Good evening to you all. Come, gentlemen." He stepped back into the courtyard. The gates, their wood so heavy and toughened with age that it was like iron, swung shut. On the other side of it was silence, followed by the puzzled mumbling of players who have had their ball confiscated. The Count nodded at Vlad and flung out his hands theatrically. "Ta-da! And that is how we do it." "And you think you'd do it twice?" said a voice from the steps. The vampires looked up at the three witches. "Ah, Mrs. Ogg," said the Count, waving the soldiers away impatiently. "And your Majesty. And Agnes. Now, was it three for a girl or three for a funeral?" The stone cracked under Nanny's feet as Magpier walked forward. "Do you think I'm stupid, dear ladies?" he said. "Did you really think that I'd let you run around if there was the least chance that you would harm us?" Lightning crackled across the sky. "I can control the weather," said the Count, "and lesser creatures, which, let me tell you, includes humans. And yet you plot away and think you can have some kind of duel? What a lovely image, however." The witches were lifted off their feet. Hot air curled around them. A rising wind outside made the torches of the mob stream flames like flags. "What happened to us harnessing the power of all three of us together?" hissed Magrat. "That rather depended on him standing still," said Nanny. "Stop this at once!" Magrat shouted. "And how dare you smoke in my castle? That can have a very serious effect on people around you."
"Is anyone going to say, 'You'll never get away with it?" said the Count, ignoring her.
He walked up the steps. They bobbed helplessly along ahead of him, like so many balloons. The hall doors slammed shut after him.
"Oh, someone must," he said. "You won't get away with this."
The Count beamed.
"And I didn't even see your lips move. Depart from here and return to the grave whence thou camest, unrighteous revenant."
"Where the hell did he come from?" said Nanny, as mightily Oates dropped to the ground in front of the vampires.
"He was creeping along the minstrel gallery," said Perdita to Agnes. "Sometimes you just don't pay attention."
The priest's coat was covered with dust, and his collar was torn, but his eyes blazed with holy zeal. He thrust something in front of the vampire's face. Agnes saw him glance down hurriedly at a small book in his other hand.
"Get thee hence, thou worm of room, and vex not."
"Excuse me," said the Count.
"Trouble not more. Could I just make a point? Thou spirit that troubles thee, thou..."
"What?"
The Count took the notebook out of Oates's suddenly unresisting hand.
"This is from Ossori's Malleus Maleficarum," he said. "Why do you look so surprised? I helped write it, you silly little man."
But that was hundreds of years ago,"
Oates managed.
"So?" "And I contributed to Auriga Clavorum Maleficarum, Torquus Simiae Maleficarum, the whole damned Arca Instrumentorum, in fact. None of those stupid fictions work on vampires. Didn't you even know that?"
The Count almost growled.
"Oh, I remember your prophets. They were mad, bearded old men with the sanitary habits of a stoat. But by all that's crazed, they had passion. They didn't have holy little minds full of worries and fretfulness. They spoke the idiot words as though they believed them, with specks of holy foam bubbling away in the corners of their mouths. Now they were real priests, bellies full of fire and bile. You are a joke."
He tossed the notebook aside and took the pendant.
"And this is the holy turtle of Om, which I believe should make me cringe back in fear. My, not even a very good replica, cheaply made."
Oates found a reserve of strength. He managed to say,
"And how would you know, foul fiend?"
No, that's for demons," sighed the Count.
He handed the turtle back to Oates.
"A commendable effort, nonetheless," he said. "If I ever want a nice cup of tea and a bun, and possibly also a cheery sing-song, I will be sure to patronise your mission. But at the moment, you are in my way."